Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Live from the Play Show, yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and as always, streaming on YouTube. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I'm starting to wonder when I'm going to start to remember the new phone number. Every day I have to look to my left on the big glass that's in front of me and see the sign that has the phone number. Now, I understand and remember the 888-710-4ISN. The 888-710-4476 part is the part that I have not been able to remember so far. Anyway, you could always find me on the good old cesspool of Twitter or on Instagram, where I'm always straight flexing, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. I'm not going to give a standing ovation, but I'm going to give a nice round of applause, by the way, to the NBA. Because a lot of times, right, I sit here and I don't enjoy the NBA product. I think the regular season is dog crap, and the NBA has turned into really a more of an emphasis on the offseason and the drama rather than the play on the court. With that being said, though, the regular season was not all that great this year. The offseason setting up for this year could be very good, with reports about Giannis Antetokounmpo and Kevin Durant potentially being on the move. And you got some big coaches that are available, with Taylor Jenkins getting fired, Mike Malone getting fired. And obviously we had the craziness in season of Luka Doncic somehow getting traded. But with all that frustration, with all that bitching that I have done during the regular season, the postseason has been spectacular. And we are only in game one for the second round. And I know that we have another game one to get to when Golden State gets on the court tonight up against the Minnesota Timberwolves. But what we've seen through the first three game ones of the second round has been phenomenal. You look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, they dropped the first game, a very good game, up against the Indiana Pacers, and now there's serious doubt about the Cavs because we don't know who's going to be available tonight as they try to even up that series at one game apiece. And the Indiana Pacers continuously get disrespected, and people just look at them, oh yeah, they're fine, oh yeah, they're pesky. Now, that's a good basketball team that the Pacers have. But what happened last night, I thought that was the best night that the NBA has had in quite some time. You had the Boston Celtics. They looked like at one point in that first half, they were going to take the New York Knicks and they were going to run them off the court in four games, and they were going to win game one by 40 points. And that's not hyperbole. Someone that I know very well, this guy named Jeff, who's the biggest Knicks fan I know, we were texting during the game and he was like, they can't compete with them. I said they can't compete with them. I thought the game was over. I thought the series was over. And then you saw a comeback where the Knicks were down 20, and that, quite frankly, they should have won the game in regulation. OG Anunoby was phenomenal. Jalen Brunson, I almost combined phenomenal and sensational there, by the way, when I was trying to describe OG Anunoby. And I probably was going to drop an F-bomb in there too. But Jalen Brunson also was fantastic and sensational and phenomenal. But then down the stretch on that final play, Karl-Anthony Towns, a heck of a pass. And I thought Jalen Brunson was going to hit the game winner, because if he didn't hear, and I know he won the most clutch player in the league award, but how many times is Reggie Miller going to say it? I don't know what said more in a broadcast. Doris Burke, when she's doing a LeBron James game, oh, he's 41. He's in year 22. Or Reggie Miller last night, he must have said it 10,000 times. If you took a shot in the final 5 minutes for how many times Reggie Miller was going to say, Jalen Brunson, the most clutch player in our league, you would have been on the floor and you wouldn't even have made it to overtime. And it was stunning, stunning, because of how clutch Jalen Brunson is. You're welcome, Reggie Miller, that Jalen Brunson missed that little bunny at the end of the game. But then the game goes into overtime, And I tweeted out right before the start of overtime, the offensive game of Mikal Bridges compared to the defensive game of Mikal Bridges are on two opposite sides of the country. One's on the East Coast, one's on the West Coast. Because Mikal Bridges' offense in that game one, up until that three-pointer that he made in overtime, was dog bleep. But his defense, in 50 minutes of playing in the game, his defense won the New York Knicks the first game of that series. And also, give credit to Karl Anthony Towns, who at times, in the first half, looked absolutely lost. Like, there are games with Karl Anthony Towns, when he steps foot on a basketball court, where he looks like he could be one of the better players in the league. And then there are games when he's off and he just looks so lethargic and he looks so disinterested. He doesn't look engaged and he sometimes just throws his hands up and is like, woe is me. And there were so many moments of that last night. But in overtime, Leon Rose, his biggest offseason acquisitions of Mikal Bridges and also Karl Anthony Towns, and it's only one game, they rewarded Leon for their belief and his belief in Kat and Mikal Bridges. Because Bridges, we all talk about the two-way star of Jaylen Brown, right? And we all know how phenomenal he is. There's a reason why he won the finals MVP last year. And we all love his defense. How about the defense, though, of Mikal Bridges last night? And you know what, Knicks fans? Let me give you a little, a little piece of advice. As often as Knicks fans are so quick in every defeat to just blame Tom Thibodeau, last night Tom Thibodeau was as good, that's as good of a coaching performance as I've ever seen by a Knicks coach. His defensive substitutions at the end of regulation, his defensive substitutions in overtime were phenomenal. Now, this series is far from over. The Knicks took one game. The Knicks stole game one. And they did their job. It would be extra sweet if they could find a way to take game two. And now the Celtics are dealing with some injuries. You would anticipate, though, the Celtics, with their championship DNA, they're going to bounce back and take game two. But I've seen crazier things. I have. But the job in Boston through the first two games is already accomplished. Because you needed to take one in Boston. And quite frankly, you won game one, where for most of the game it looked like you shouldn't have won the game, but you found a way. So that's a heck of a job by the New York Knicks. And also, the New York Knicks, I'll get to Boston in a second. Make a damn free throw. This is becoming an issue. This has been an issue. At one point, I'm looking up, I'm like, there's 14 missed free throws. And that's when it was like a 2 or 3 point game. You got to do almost everything well to beat the Celtics if you're going to go get three more victories. And if you keep on being that lackadaisical and that inept and that incompetent at the charity stripe, you won't win this series. Now, on the other side, if you're the Boston Celtics, what the heck was that approach offensively? Now, I'm not an expert here. I am not James Naismith, all right? I'm not going to pretend to be Dr. James Naismith like I invented basketball. But I know a thing or two to be able to suggest when you are hellaciously bad at something, maybe you just try something else, right? And I don't need to be paid millions and millions and millions of dollars to give you that wise advice. But the Boston Celtics last night, and I know there was an extra session, they missed 45 three-point attempts. Is this thing on testing 1, 2, 3? Testing 1, 2, 3. I just want to make sure that I'm living in reality. The Boston Celtics miss 45 three-point attempts. So you would think, Stu, right? Because Stu, let's be real. I'm not the voice of reason on this show. Samter isn't the voice of reason. If we need a calm, soothing voice to just give us an honest assessment and an honest opinion, you would think, right, if you're missing 45 three-point attempts, that at some point you'd be like, maybe we should take some two-point attempts. Maybe we should try to get closer to the basket. Maybe the Celtics should try to be a little bit physical and go for a few layups or a few dunks, right? That would be just conventional wisdom, right?
I would think so, yes.
Oh, the Celtics didn't do that. They said, let's chuck, 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 and hope that eventually one falls. And you know what? Derek White almost won them the game with his toughness, rebounding the ball, and then also that three-pointer that he did make later on in that game. But that was just a terrifying, and I mean a terrifying approach by the Boston Celtics. So that was a good appetizer, right? And everyone probably thought when they were watching, you know, that was going to be the filet mignon of the night. And let me tell you, I stayed up late last night. I thought, all right, I'd watch the Knicks. I'd go to bed, coming back from Vegas. And then I forgot, oh, I'm still working 3 hours behind in my internal clock. And also, even though I was really tired, the euphoria after the Knicks game, I think it gave me like a little shot of espresso, pretty much, is how I would describe it. So I was up for longer than I anticipated. And then I watched the entirety of that Denver Nuggets game up against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And if you thought the Celtics approach was bad, just shooting three after three after three after three, what was Mark Daigneault doing in the last minute and a half of that basketball game? You had a big lead. We know how great the Thunder have been. There has not really been a moment where people have been able to grab onto something tangibly that's been like, oh, that's where the inexperience of this team has screwed them. And I'm okay with fouling up three, right? Because to be fair, how many times do we sit here and bitch when a coach doesn't do it? But you can't do it with an eternity. What am I trying to say? Of the play clock that's left available. Santer, you're occasionally smart. What was the word that I was looking for there? Give me the word that I was looking for there.
In perpetuity?
No! There was an eternity on the play clock, right? Is that the word? No?
Eternity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. So I said it correctly.
Yeah, eternity.
I don't know why. It sounded like I said that word wrong. But there was, you know what? Let's just do this. We'll go back to the Sandlot. There was forever left on that play clock, on that game clock. It was crazy. And at one point, Nikola Jokic wasn't even in the game. And you foul, and then he gets back in the game. And how many yes moments were there in that game too? On both sides. Now, Chet Holmgren has to make those free throws. He misses both of them. But that opened up the door. And then you have Russell Westbrook dribbling. It's like, no. And then you're down one. And you find Aaron Gordon in the corner. And bang, he hits the three. And then on the other end, what was like a 50-footer or whatever, it was no good. So that's how game one ended. And I'll tell you this. I know everyone's going to sit here and talk about Aaron Gordon this, Aaron Gordon that, because the three was awesome. It's almost weird just how we've all accepted these video game stat lines from Nikola Jokic, where it's almost as if we don't even appreciate them anymore because we're not sitting here saying, wow. It's whenever you hear something new that Nikola Jokic does, it's like, oh yeah, give me another day that ends in Y. Seriously. Last night, he had 42 points, 22 rebounds, and 6 assists. He became the fourth player in NBA postseason history. Only 4 players on this list, he's one of them, to record at least 40 points, 20 rebounds, and 5 assists in a game. And you know what? The most impressive part isn't even the stat line. It's when he's not on the court, it's when he's on the bench, and how vocal Nikola Jokic has come. And the leadership role that Nikola Jokic has taken on since the firing of Mike Malone. Not only do the Denver Nuggets have a 3-time NBA MVP, not only do the Denver Nuggets, I'm going to say it, have one of the best players I've ever seen play basketball. Like, that's how great, that's how elite, that's how sensational, that's how awesome it has been to watch Nikola Jokic. But they also have a guy that is turning into an elite head coach right in front of our eyes. And think about this. Imagine if the Denver Nuggets end up winning 3 more games and beating the Oklahoma City Thunder. Imagine then if they're able to take care of business and then defeat either Golden State or Minnesota and go to the NBA Finals. This was a team, 3 games before the season ended, in the regular season, they fired their championship-winning head coach. And nothing against Adelman, right? But Nikola Jokic looks like he's coaching that team. And it's wild, this run that they've been on. Because I thought there was a legitimate chance with how that season ended that they would be quickly in and quickly out of the playoffs and be done in the first round. Now, after winning game one and stealing that game, from the Oklahoma City Thunder, I think we're all looking at Nikola Jokic today and saying, I'm not ruling that guy out of anything. I'm not counting him out of anything. If you tell me he wins a second NBA championship this year, even with the problems, even with the flaws of the way that this roster was assembled, it would not shock me at any degree. Because that's how great, that is the all-time greatness that you're seeing right now. And I love what I'm seeing from Nikola Jokic on the court, but I even love it more what I'm seeing with the vocal leadership role that he's taken. So I would actually say this. Nikola Jokic could actually benefit the most from any player in the postseason if he wins another championship. Because we already know he has three NBA MVPs. We already know he's a championship. We already know he has a finals MVP. But if he gets this one, it's almost like it's worth double. Because it adds to his player's legacy, but how he willed this team basically as a coach as well, that would take him, he's already a top 15 player of all time, top 20 player of all time, I would say. Like right now, I'd rather be Nikola Jokic over Kevin Durant, just for starters, if you ask me. But if he goes wins another championship this year, the national respect of Nikola Jokic is going to just go through the roof for the best player in the NBA. Stu, give me a player, if I take Nikola Jokic out of it, that would benefit the most if he ends up winning a championship this year.
I think it's Anthony Edwards. I think the fact that you would get the Western Conference Finals appearance and then an NBA championship the next year.
Yeah.
As he's really, you know, Julius Randle's a good player. There's other good players on that team, but he's really the alpha on that team. He would be leading them all the way to a championship. At his age, I just think he has so much to gain if they win it all.
And you factor in his personality that he would be the unquestioned face of the league. Like, I wouldn't even say the future face of the league anymore. I would then call him the face of the league for the NBA. Samter, who's a player, if Joker and Anthony Edwards are off the board, that would benefit the most from winning a championship.
I mean, there's so many young guys who won championship would kind of bring them to another stratosphere. But I'm looking at a guy who already has four, that's Steph Curry. If he wins another one, if he wins his fifth, we're starting to put him in that conversation to the top five, top six all-time. Mm. Into the all-time GOATs. Like, I think MJ, LeBron, Kareem have kind of solidified the top three spots. Everything after that is still up for grabs, and Steph Curry, with another title or two, could start getting into that conversation with Magic, with Bird, with Russell, with Wilt. And so, honestly, I think Steph Curry, with another title, with a fifth, I think we start getting into that conversation.
Honestly, I think it would even boost him up a little bit more than some of the players that you're saying. Now, Magic and... You said Magic and Russell?
Magic, Russell, Wilt, and Bird.
I think it would put him past Wilt and Bird, if I'm being honest. The Magic one then becomes fascinating. It does. Now, Magic played 1 through 5. We'd maybe have to get Magic back on the show and have to re-ask him that question and see if his answer would be a little bit different. But seriously, I think you're then starting to put Steph Curry in that, top 6, top 7 conversation if he gets another championship. Because then it's, okay, you won one before KD. You won 2 during KD. He's already won one after KD. If he wins another one after KD, oh my, that's just flat out stupid. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network, where sometimes I am just flat out stupid. If you just heard me try to say eternity for, I don't know, the beginning of that show. That was terrible. That was just brutal. That's me still, half my body I think still left in Las Vegas. That's what I think was happening there. There's going to be some brain farts this week, folks. But you'll still love me for it. All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come on back, Tyreek Hill. Remember the energy and the love that he had for Tua Tagovailoa when he first joined the Miami Dolphins? I think that ship has sailed away. I think that love is going, and it's gone. I'll tell you why when we come on back next. Say it with me, Stu. Eternity. Can you say that?
Eternity.
Cool. You do sound like the guy, by the way, when I go, how do you pronounce this word? And it goes, eternity. Say that again, Stu.
Eternity.
Yeah, you do sound like that guy.
Do I really?
That's crazy. Get the heck out of here, Stu. We could make you a lot more money. We'll just have you go on all these applications and everything. It's a very soothing voice. Santer, say the word for me one more time.
Eternity.
That sounds like we could do a late night show with that voice on.
Eternity.
Instead of me saying earlier in the show, Mark Dagnolt had an eternity. And I'm like, that doesn't sound right. And I go, how am I saying that word wrong? And I had to emphasize the E a little bit, not eternity, eternity. So there we go. There was an eternity left on the play clock or the shot clock. I can't get that right either. Play clock. It's not shot clock. It's the game clock. Man, my brain is fried today. But welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And what a wild night in the NBA. Oklahoma City lost the game that they should have won and probably would have won 9.9 times out of 10. And now all the pressure shifts on them for the first time really in this postseason to see if they could find a way to grab game two. If not, you go back to Denver and you're down 0-2. And the Boston Celtics, I feel like there's a belief they'll win game two. But the Knicks won a game that probably they should not have won. And Boston missed 45 three-pointers. And it's not like the Knicks were on fire either. Their defense was great, but it wasn't as if they were awesome offensively. So if the Knicks could heat up on offense in game two, and maybe this gets Karl Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges really going for what they were able to do in the extra session to get that victory, maybe the Knicks find a way to surprise people and go back to Madison Square Garden, what would be a crazy scene. It's already be crazy on Saturday. But imagine if you go Saturday to Madison Square Garden and you have the Knicks up 2-0. That would be bonkers. So it was a good first punch by the Knicks, a good first punch, even though they were both late, by the Denver Nuggets. And now we're going to see how the Oklahoma City Thunder and also the Boston Celtics are going to counter. So when Tyreek Hill first got to the Miami Dolphins, as we'll just transition to that real quickly. Ryan Hollins, by the way, going to join us at 4:40 p.m. Eastern time today. So in an hour and 10 minutes from now. When Tyreek Hill first got to Miami, he went out of his way to really just have an effusive amount of praise of one Tua Tagovailoa, which even though he was saying the accuracy of Tua is better than Mahomes, like it was ridiculous to say that anything that Tua does is better than what Patrick Mahomes does. But I appreciated where it was coming from, because that's now your guy, that's now your quarterback. And let's be real. In the end of the Brian Flores era in Miami, Tua didn't feel appreciated. And Mike McDaniel got there, and he basically threw his arms around Tua Tagovailoa, and Tyreek Hill did follow. So Tyreek Hill has been the biggest backer, besides Mike McDaniel, of Tua Tagovailoa. But maybe you're starting to see that change. Because I'll just take you back to last summer. Tyreek Hill was asked, who are the top five quarterbacks in the NFL? And at the time, he said Tua Tagovailoa, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, and then also Baker Mayfield. This was just in the summer. And now he was asked this question the other day. And you know what? I appreciate, even though Tyreek Hill is just a terrible human being, all right, there is enough out there with Tyreek Hill. I can't defend this guy whatsoever. I couldn't stand this guy years ago, and it hasn't gotten any better, honestly, when you read the things that you read about him. But I guess Tyreek Hill was doing one of these live streams and trying to interact with his fans, and I guess trying to clean up his image, which has just been in a terrible spot. And Tyreek Hill was asked, hey, who are your top five quarterbacks in the NFL in no order entering this season? And these were the five names that Tyreek Hill gave, and you'll notice a big omission on one.
Said, could I rank my top five quarterbacks? Lamar, Josh, Pat, obviously. No, this is no order, by the way. Baker Mayfield. And Joe B. Joe Shiesty, too.
Okay. I don't think anyone's going to sit here and say that Tyreek Hill, right, probably actually believes that Tua Tagovailoa is a top five quarterback. I didn't believe it when he said it last time. But when he's your quarterback and you've already said it in the past, shouldn't you probably say he's a top five quarterback? And it's not as if, well, you just give Tyreek Hill the benefit of the doubt, because if you keep on giving Tyreek Hill the benefit of the doubt, and there's a lot more serious things that people give Tyreek Hill the benefit of the doubt for, which I still don't understand, then at this point, you're just a moron. All right? That's just the reality of the situation. So, Tyreek Hill says this, and also remember how last season ended when he basically requested a trade and then walked it back and did one of those PR tours. Oh, I didn't mean it, blah, blah, blah. I acted immaturely. I was just emotional at the Super Bowl. And now he's sitting there and he's throwing just more fuel on the fire. where it's, oh, yeah, I'm no longer going to say Tua Tagovailoa is a top five quarterback in the NFL when you have been his one of his biggest backers since getting to Miami. I think there's something there. Now, I don't have a problem with this list. I wouldn't say Baker Mayfield's a top five quarterback in the NFL, but he's at least been consistent with it. He said it last year. He said it this year. So why didn't you say Tua Tagovailoa if you said it last year and you're not saying it this year? It's because maybe you're frustrated with your quarterback. And I don't think Tua is a top five quarterback. Lamar has to be on that list. Josh Allen has to be on that list. Patrick Mahomes has to be on that list. Joe Burrow has to be on that list. Quite frankly, I would put Jalen Hurts in before I would put Baker Mayfield. But Tua used to get so much love from Tyreek. Now Tyreek is throwing that love to Baker Mayfield, and he's thrown that love before, and now he's still throwing that love for Baker Mayfield, but he's not throwing that love back to Tua Tagovailoa. Is this a big deal? Like, I'll just ask that. Or is this something that I'm making it into a big deal? But I look at this, and it's really nothing about Tua, in my opinion. It's just Tyreek Hill is not afraid to wear his emotions on his sleeves. And what he said at the end of the season, to me, I thought that was the beginning of the end of his time in Miami. And somehow he was partially able to put some of the toothpaste back in the tube, even though it was already out. But this is one of those days where you woke up and you hit that toothpaste tube too hard, and there's a lot of toothpaste now on your counter. And it's how many times can Tyreek Hill keep on putting the toothpaste back in the tube before a lot of us just say, this dude isn't happy with this current situation with the Miami Dolphins. And you know what I would say to Tyreek if he's sitting right next to me? Tough luck. You had it made. You were in Kansas City with Mahomes, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, and you let your ego get in the way, and you ended up going to the Miami Dolphins, and you probably miss winning. Well, you were at the place where they know winning best for this next NFL dynasty in Kansas City with the best quarterback in the league, one of the greatest tight ends of all time, and one of the greatest coaches of all time, and you left that. That was stupid. So no, I don't feel bad for you. I'll never feel bad for Tyreek Hill regardless, but I won't feel bad for you because now you miss Kansas City and you miss winning, and you know you're in an organization that winning to them is just making the playoffs, not actually doing anything of significance in the postseason. So Stu, do you find this a big deal that Tyreek Hill left Tua Tagovailoa off this list?
So if he didn't include him on the list in the summer, I would say not a big deal, but the fact that he did and now he's off that list while still including Baker Mayfield, I don't know. It's kind of like you said. It just sounds like someone that's like disgruntled or trying to make a headline to make it clear that he's not happy.
It's almost like you're subtweeting, where you're saying something. And I had a subtweet today.
You did?
Yeah. A few people have been posting these videos celebrating their team's win, and they're of like zero substance. There's no genuine, authentic reaction. It's just, let's go, let's go. And I'm watching these videos one after another today, and I go, can you be a little creative? Can you actually make it a genuine reaction, not just performing for the cameras? So I subtweeted about it. I didn't name the people. But this is basically Tyreek Hill subtweeting, where, yeah, I'm not going to specifically say that I'm upset with Tua. And I'm not going to say I'm specifically upset in this instance with the Miami Dolphins, but I'll just throw out a list and not put the Dolphins or not put Tua Tagovailoa on there. And it makes you say, is there maybe something more there? Without directly saying it, even though we basically already directly said it at the end of the season and then walked it back. Samter, is this a big deal?
Here's the thing. I think who he put in that fifth spot is what makes it a big deal. Right, obviously, you talk about the top four in Allen, Mahomes, Burrow, and
Lamar.
Well,
no, he said Burrow last. Now, this wasn't in order.
Right, but I think, we consider, that's the four.
Sure.
It's the fifth that we kind of have this discussion about now, right? And Jalen Hurts is probably there now because he won the Super Bowl. I don't think there's many people on this planet. I love Baker. There's not a lot of people on this planet saying Baker is the fifth best quarterback in the NFL.
No, he's top 10. He's probably in that 8 to 10 range.
Right.
Maybe at best 7.
Right. Not a lot, if anybody, is going to put him top 5. So the fact that he put Baker there.
Yeah. And not
a guy like Jalen Hurts, or not a guy like, I don't know,
Jaden Daniels. Even CJ Stroud, yes, with the first 2 years that he's
100%.
Done.
100%. The fact that he put Baker there, because you can have a conversation of Baker versus Tua. You can have that conversation.
And by the way, to be clear, I take Baker all day.
Me too.
And twice on Sundays.
But when Tua's healthy, you can at least have that conversation.
Yeah, sure.
The fact that he put Baker there, then I think you can put Tua there. I think that's kind of a shot.
Oh, it's 1,000% a shot.
I think the fact that he put but if he said Jalen Hurts, I wouldn't have cared.
Yeah, fair, because at least he's giving you an honest list. But when you had this guy on your list last year with Baker, you had Tua and Baker on the list last year, and now this year you don't have Tua, and you do have Baker, and too bad that this isn't an interview, because then the normal follow-up would be, oh, why not Tua Tagovailoa? And then you could just see the reaction. Sometimes you put these guys on the spot with these top five lists. Heck, we've done it twice now with Micah Parsons, and he hasn't been able to give us a fifth name for the top five pure pass rushers in the NFL. And even Tyreek there was like, Joe Burrow. Joe Scheisty, I think he called him. So sometimes you just forget. But I don't think that I'm not naive enough. And I don't give Tyreek Hill the benefit of the doubt to think, oh, yeah, he just forgot his quarterback. Into a Tagovailoa. It'd be like if someone asked me, who are the top five best radio producers? And I sit there and I go, Baba Booey, Al Dukes. I'm just like going through the list. And then I got three more names. And then I didn't say Stu or I didn't say Samter. Like those are my guys. I'm looking directly at them when I answer that question. It would create people to say, hey, is that Zach taking a shot at his guys?
Now, here's the thing. If you had named five award-winning producers who are in the Radio Hall of Fame, nobody would knock you. But if you named four guys and then threw out, like, James Boccioni or Anthony Pierno.
For all the good work that Bocch did and how he did so and took a lot of crap, I don't think you need to go after James Boccioni. He's a very nice guy.
Sure. But, you know, that's kind of a conversation where, like, if you're looking right at us.
Please give him credit. He just left.
There it is. If you're looking right at us and you say Ryan Hickey, or you look right at us and you say, you know,
Elijah Stewart and
EJ, Bilotti, Shep.
Yeah, Bilotti.
Then we have an issue.
Okay. You know what? Carlos Ortiz. Yeah, I'll give you my top five radio producers right now. EJ, Carlos Ortiz, Tom DiBenedetto, Ryan Hickey, and Pete Bilotti. Feel good about that? Feeling nicey?
You better get the gloves ready. Ding, ding, ding.
Get the step stool ready if you're going to punch me in my face.
I'll take you down from the shin.
Oh, that wouldn't be nice. That wouldn't be nice. How many Samters would it take? 100 Samters versus one Gelb. Who wins? Alrighty, let's get the latest update in with Ack. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly is celebrating all who go above and beyond during Military Appreciation Month. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/celebrate. Our members are the mission. This week's player is Knicks forward Mikal Bridges. In last night's 108-105 overtime win over the Boston Celtics, Bridges had three steals, two blocks, and several key defensive stops when it mattered the most. By the way, I want to get your ruling on this because I think sometimes people try too hard on social media. Now, don't get me wrong. My subtweet was not about Manny Rodriguez because, right, Manny works here. If I'm going to go after Manny, I'll just say his name on the air. And I talked to Manny earlier today. I saw he was at the Yankees game last night.
He was.
And I called him and I said, hey, I need a little weather report. I saw you were just wearing a sweatshirt at the game. I'm going to the Yankees game tonight. But it's in that bizarre time where it could get a little bit windy, but it's 55 to 60 degrees. So once it gets in that like range, I don't think I need a jacket. So I said, oh, can I just do a t-shirt and a sweatshirt? And Manny said, yeah, that's what I did last night at the game. And it was a little bit colder, I think, yesterday than it was tonight. And I'm going to see the Yankees play the Padres. So he goes, just a sweatshirt. I go, thanks, Manny. He probably thought I was calling him to just accost him over his hellacious social media video that he put out last night. And it's not even the video. He's screaming, going nuts. The fact that the Knicks won, Manny is an enormous Knicks fan. But it's a bad look, in my opinion. And I don't really want to tell people how to live their life. But you're at a regular season baseball game, and the Knicks are in the playoffs. If you're that huge, enormous Knicks fan, and right, Manny and EJ with our morning show, they take so much pride. They talk about the Knicks in like November when nobody gives a rat's ass and they're celebrating these irrelevant regular season game victories. I don't know, Stu. That's kind of tough. Opening round, or second round, first game, you're up against Boston to be at a Yankee-Padre game. Right? Isn't that a bad look?
It's not great. I guess in his defense, he was saying he had these tickets for a pretty long time, but...
Sell them!
Yeah.
Like, come on, it's Yankees.
Sell them for today's
Padres.
Game. Yeah.
It's sell them.
Yeah, I agree.
So he's sitting there, like, he's at the... Because it's a rain delay, so he's at the bar watching the Knicks game, and then he's screaming like... Oh, first off, if Manny's in my section, I'm at a baseball game, and he's screaming, let's go, Knicks! Yeah! I'm texting that private number on security to boot this guy from the stadium, if I'm being honest. Sam, did you have any problem about that? Yeah, big Knicks fan. He claims to be this enormous fan, and I know Manny is nuts. Like, there are some people that work here, right? Like, I'm passionate about sports. But there's other people that their passion goes to, like, a level where it gets to them just being delirious fans. Where, as if someone overtakes their body and is then controlling their brain to just do stupid things and act in stupid ways, Manny is one of those people, if I'm being honest. And also, Manny better been up today. If he's sleeping after being out late at the Yankees game, probably partying and drinking a lot with the whole Knicks situation, come on, Manny. You better be alert. You know, your boy today is here. I've been here the last 2 days. After a red eye coming back from Vegas, I showed up. Now, I don't know if I'm doing a good show or not. I may be saying some stupid things. But, geez, you better not be sleeping like Manny Rodriguez fell asleep during a shift last week. Do you have any problem, Samter, with Manny being at the Yankee game last night when he claims to be a big Knicks fan and then is putting out content screaming about the Knicks at Yankee Stadium? Any problems with that?
No, it's game one of round two
in
Boston.
It's the playoffs!
I get it. But you can watch the game on your phone.
Playoffs.
You can go to a bar afterwards. Like, I don't have a huge issue with it. If it was game six or seven,
playoffs.
Different story. But like, whatever. Like, you're
playoffs.
Allowed to be a fan of multiple teams, and you're allowed
if
to
you're
go.
If you're at a wedding, if you're at an engagement party, you know, something. All right, it happens. It's life. A Yankees regular season game, and you claim to be this big Knicks fan. I'm sorry, that can't happen. That can't happen. It's May baseball. We're talking postseason here, basketball. It's a bad job by Manny. Really, really bad job by Manny. Anything further to add here, Santa?
I mean, I disagree, but that's okay.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I heard you clicking away there. I thought you were looking something up. Anyway, I did read yesterday that Brian Schottenheimer, since we are a national radio program and we haven't mentioned the Cowboys in a while, I guess we'll do that here. He moved the lockers of Dak Prescott and Micah Parsons. So I guess that's okay. Those are the unquestioned leaders of the Dallas Cowboys. Or maybe that's Brian Schottenheimer saying, we're moving your lockers together. Go, you guys are the leaders. Go lead this team. I don't know where he's going to lead them to. But Stu, give me these first-year coaches, and I'll tell you what I want to see out of these first-year coaches as we have a bunch taking over new situations.
All right, let's start with Shoddy and the Cowboys.
I want to see him lead that team to being over 500, and even though I don't love their offseason moves, like, go win 9-10 games this year. That's what I would say for Schottenheimer in year one, and prove a lot of people wrong.
All right, what about Kellen Moore with the Saints?
Show some accountability and show me a little offensive identity, because I don't know what the Saints are doing right now, because they had a roster. Obviously, it was good for a long time. You lost your quarterback in Drew Brees, who's now been retired for years. And I don't feel like the Saints have any direction. So even if they're a bad football team, at least be a gritty football team where it's weird to say it's a participation trophy. But that's what I'm basically saying here. Where I can at least be like proud of the Saints through three quarters of a game, even if their talent pops up and hurts them in the fourth.
All right. What about Ben Johnson? First year as the coach of the Bears.
Playoffs. Playoffs and Caleb Williams looking like a star. That's what I need to say.
All right, what about Jacksonville and Mr.
Duval?
Oh, little sounder. I like it. I would say it's making Trevor Lawrence looking like a respectable quarterback again and challenging, not dethroning, but challenging the Houston Texans. That's what I would say.
All right, what about Aaron Glenn with the Jets?
Getting an answer on Justin Fields. I want to know at the end of this, they beefed up the offensive line with the first-round pick, Armin Membu. They're now young across the offensive line. You still got Garrett Wilson. You got Breece Hall. I would have liked them to have drafted Tyler Warren, but I want to get an answer. I want Aaron Glenn, who's the defensive-minded coach, to get an answer out of his new quarterback in Justin Fields, if he's the guy or not.
All right, what about someone who has been a head coach before? It is Vrabel with your Patriots now.
I want to see the lowest amount of wins I would accept from the Patriots this year is 8. That's the lowest. Like 8 and 9. Give me 8 and 9. Give me 9 and 8. They were so lost last year without Gerard Mayo. Now you get Mike Vrabel, who should have been the first-year head coach of the Patriots last year. I think their defense is going to be good as long as Barmore's healthy. Keon White will probably get better. You made some big offseason acquisitions as well. And then on the offensive side of the ball, they better protect Drake May. He took way too many hits last year, and I think the Pats did enough this offseason where they could be a team that I actually enjoy watching them on Sundays again, because I know everyone feels bad for me the last 3 years or so. Whew, it's been a sloppy, sloppy product. I miss winning championships.
Well, it's been 3 bad years for you. It's been like 25 for me. What about Pete Carroll with my Raiders?
Yeah, we're very similar. We're like the Spider-Man pointing.
Same.
Picture. Stu, I can't, like, they're going to be the fourth team in that division, right? Like, is there any way that they could be the third team in that division?
Probably not. I think they'll be the competitive fourth team, though. Like 7 or 8 wins, but not
smash mouth football. That's what I want to see. You got Ashton Jeanty. You got Brock Bowers. Smash mouth football. And that defense with Crosby, hopefully Wilkins back healthy. Just 7 wins? Is that crazy? Run the football. Play good defense. Geno Smith, don't be a turnover machine. Maybe 7 and 10 at best for the Raiders. Man, those are some low expectations all around the board. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come on back, I saw Joel Klatt's top 25 after spring football and the second transfer portal window that opened up. Who's the team in college football with the most pressure? We'll ask next.